Okay.
It'll be a short one then. Kathy, any updates?
No, nothing in particular. We're actually starting to think about our presentations for RSA, and I think we have lots of good stuff to talk about.
Tim?
Yeah, so we've sent samples to Davis for choline analysis.
Mm-hmm.
We have lambs are hitting the ground for this year's batch of animals. These are animals that have been either treated with choline or control or alcohol or choline and alcohol. So we won't have any data to report on them for some time, but anyway, the animals are being generated.
Are there going to be birth measures anyway?
Yeah, so we'll have by the end of June we'll have facial measurements at least for that, and birth weights and that sort of thing. Yes, that's
okay.
True. We'll begin behavioral testing them in June and through July, and they'll be challenged with a T-maze test and with iBlink classical conditioning. The standard methods that we used last year were a little too easy, I think, and so we weren't able to distinguish between alcohol-treated and non-alcohol-treated, and so this year there's going to be a delay, a longer delay on that, so we'll see how that goes. We're getting ready for our to present our abstracts at the RSA meeting. We'll have, I think we'll have five, something like that, for SciFast for the RSA meeting.
Tim, is the generation of these lambs going to provide tissue samples for Raj's project as well, or is that a different set of animals?
We will have blood that will be available for that. We'll have blood from the SciFast animals, and then I'll have fetal tissues from another project that'll be available for Raj's project, or
okay.
our project.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I assume those are that you track which animals these samples come from, so that maybe other associations can be made, say between microRNAs and other things you're measuring.
Absolutely. So behavior, face, all of that, cell counts, morphology of the corpus callosum, that sort of thing, all of those things can be related as the data comes in.
And we're continuing to track them by animal number for all of our data as well.
Right.
And this is, I wanted to talk about the ultrasound work a little bit further, if there's time. We've,
yep.
Excuse me?
I said, yep.
So what we've done is we've established a battery of measures that correspond with Andy Hull's lab's work. By the time we'd gotten, we'd really established those battery of measures, the animals for this year they basically passed the sweet spot, which is 76 days, after which there is too much ossification of the skull to be effective. So beginning in the fall, we'll start doing SciFast animals. But Rajesh and Kathy and I are considering a project whereby we'll challenge sheep at a developmental stage similar to when Kathy challenges her mice, and then we'll do ultrasonography both in vivo and then post-mortem using a very high-resolution system that's in Dr. Miranda's lab. But that's something that is in the writing stage right now. And that's all I have.
Okay. All right, is Fong on the line? Raj, do you have any updates?
Sure. So we're up to 10 arrays that we've run so far. Six of them were with version 11 of Mirbase, and four sets with version 10 of Mirbase. So right now we are there's some discrepancy between the Mirbases, so we can't combine those data sets. But analysis of the ones from Mir 11, we now have some statistically significant differences, and we're about to start validating those. So that's pretty good. There was kind of a huge pool of microRNAs that were generally suppressed in plasma, and then four or five that were induced. So I think we can start to do real-time PCR for all of those and to validate those at least. And then, as Tim mentioned, we have additional tissues coming into the lab, so we're making progress there. With respect to the ultrasound that Tim mentioned, I hadn't talked about this before because it's kind of a preliminary. We're yet learning a lot, but we have a very high-resolution ultrasound in the lab now, which runs at about 40 megahertz and gives us about a 40 micron theoretical resolution. And so we're doing some work of our own. We've started working with fetal microvessel circulation in the mouse following ethanol exposure, and that we're getting some really interesting data. One of my postdocs will be presenting data blitz at the fetal alcohol spectrum disorders study group about that. But that's part of what we're starting to collaborate with Tim now with his sheep as well, trying to image structures. And I'm really hopeful that we can kind of cross-collaborate with Kathy and be part of that. So that's where we are up to right now. But the sheep, the ultrasound thing is kind of a new thing in the lab. That's separate from the SciFast, but might be of interest later on. I don't know.
Right.
So, Rajesh, you can measure flows?
Yeah, it's really cool. We can measure flows in, for example, the middle cerebral of a gestational day 12 mouse, or the posterior cerebral, or, you know, internal carotids. So we can track the blood flow all the way from the placenta, umbilical cord, up through the heart, internal carotids, all the way up to the major microvessels, the major developing vessels of the fetal brain. And what we're finding is that with just a single exposure of ethanol, you see a huge dramatic shutdown of blood flow in the microvessels of the posterior cerebrals, anterior cerebrals, and such.
What's the dose? Raj, what's the dose you're
right using? Now, we're just as a trial dose, we're doing 3 grams per kilogram. And later on, once we get settled into this, we want to do dose ranges and multiple doses. Now we're just doing a single dose.
Okay.
That's in the mice that you're doing it right now, right?
In the mice, and then we're collaborating. We just started collaborating with Tim to look at his sheep brain and brains, and we're able to see the corpus callosum and hippocampus, and we talked about trying to measure distances between the frontal poles and the thalamus and things like that to see if we can start to get towards Hull's measurements.
So the shutdown, is that a very acute and transient response?
It is acute and transient. The next day you do not see that. But the fact that it's happening, so it's a little bit difficult. It's transient in terms of the way we think of time, but for a mouse it's probably a fair chunk of, if you're talking of a couple hours, that's a fair chunk in a mouse developmental life.
Right. I guess it makes me wonder if alcohol is directly damaging the brain or whether there's a hypoxic effect.
Or maybe even something more complex like creating alterations in the endocrine environment or, placental nutrition flow and things like that into the brain.
Have you looked at the flow through placenta or even in the mom?
Oh, yeah. So the mom is barely affected. The mom doesn't change much at all. The placenta is much less affected. So it's almost as if you go further up into the vascular tree, you get more and more of an effect. So by the time you get to the heart and the internal carotids and all, the effect is very dramatic in the fetus. The placenta itself, there's a kind of a more moderate shutdown. But we're hopeful that we'll be able to do more sophisticated experiments with contrast reagents, and you can even label these with antibodies and such so that you can start to get functional measurements with ultrasound now. But that's, again, that's for the future.
Right. That's very cool.
That's what we've been up to.
Any other questions for Raj? Well, for our updates, we're again just generating our last tissue for choline analyses, and I have talked to him. I did talk to Jan, and I've got them in touch with Steven Zeisel's group. So I haven't gotten any word that things are working yet, but hopefully they'll be able to get them on the right track.
Now, they are able to measure plasma already, right?
Right. They're able to, it's just the tissue that they were having problems with.
Right, okay.
So the plasma hasn't been a problem. It's just the brain and liver tissue.
Right.
So, Jennifer, have you shifted completely away from Carl Keene's lab to the Zeisel lab?
I haven't, obviously not with this project. We're still, but Jan is the person who has been running analysis and having a lot of hard time with it. I'm going to be in the future doing some work with Zeisel's group. So, they've done it. They've done these analyses for years, but they were very helpful. I mean, when I asked if they would be willing to give some advice to Jan, they said absolutely. So. So they've been great in that regard. And like I said, hopefully the two people that do the technical work can brainstorm and do the troubleshooting and figuring out what the problem is. But they've been great and just very helpful. So. Any other issues or business? Jill, do we have a call in June?
Yeah, we do, because they're the first part of the month and RSA is the last part of the month. So let me see. And I added the dates for the rest of 2010 on the last reminder. Let me get there really quick. Yeah, June 1st will be the next call.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. And I guess I'll talk to you in a month and see you in Texas.
You can.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah,
all right.
Bye.